Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Well, the Huskers know their bowl destination. Huge news about former head coach Scott Frost. Some positive news out of the transfer portal for once over the weekend. And of course, the college football playoff bracket is set as well. So we have lots to discuss today, Common fans. First, of course, we've been talking about it all year. It's the Christmas holiday season. Get yourself some delicious beef. I mean, who doesn't like a good steak while you're watching It's a Wonderful Life, or maybe a roast of some sort, prime rib? Prime rib. Who doesn't want a Christmas prime rib?
Yeah, for sure.
So, and you can get all those things and more at Certified Piedmontese. Go to cpbeef.com and use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, to get 25% off. You can also go to your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha, or any eligible item. And they got at cpbeef.com, they've got a ton of holiday specials going already as well. You cannot use the promo code on top of that, but point being, with the promo code and or the holiday specials going, you can basically get discounted beef across the board, and it's delicious premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. Again, promo code common fan, all one word, common fan, for 25% off. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, check out our website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for our newsletter, see all of our episodes, generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. TS Web Services built the site for us. They were fantastic. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. We had a great experience working with their team. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Finally, get your Common Fan socks.
Yes.
Damn right.
Everybody needs Common Fan socks. We got GBR for life socks. We got Rule Aid socks. We got all kinds. We got Common Fan socks, all kinds of cool socks. Get them for your friends, loved ones. Get them for yourself, Common Fan. Say yes to yourself. Go to sillesco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. Use the promo code GBR for life, GBR, number 4, L-I-F-E, GBR for life, for 25% off. Here's the thing also, guys, at sillesco.com, they have all kinds of cool socks, fun socks that are unrelated.
I'm a sock guy.
Yeah,
they're completely, good pair of socks.
They're fun, they're colorful. You wear them to work, you wear them to meetings, you wear them around the house, doesn't matter. They're fun, they're colorful, and they are across, they're unrelated, you know, all kinds of stuff. Unrelated to Nebraska football, fun stuff, holiday stuff, seasonal stuff, whatever it may be. And the promo code GBR for life will get you 25% off any of those pairs of socks. That's what's interesting, Common Fans.
Do it.
Sillesco.com. Use the promo code GBR, number 4, L-I-F-E. Boys, December 28th at 11 a.m. Central Time. Not quite what we've been saying. Get us to any bowl, even if it's December 14th, you know, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, but it kind of feels close. I get the sense that Husker fans are like not overly excited about the Pinstripe Bowl. What do you guys think?
I mean, we've been saying just get us to a bowl game, right? Like,
it's not good enough now.
We have a bowl game. And you know what I like? I keep seeing like the glass half full type of people, which I'm on board with that. That's me. I'm one of those people that the glorious Nebraska run started in, I believe it was 1962, in the Gotham Bowl, guys.
Yes, I
Coach
love
Devaney.
that. I
We went
love that.
seven years without playing in a postseason, and Devaney took us to New York to the Gotham Bowl. We beat Miami in frigid temps. Maybe this is like kind of one of those things, like a circular, times a flat circle kind of thing. Let's go take care of business, get a win out in the Big Apple, and then
Finish
we're
with the
off.
winning record. Finish with the winning
Finish it
record.
with a winning record,
Yeah.
and then we're off.
Yeah.
I'm that's kind of the route that I'm taking for this, for the next 19 days, getting ready
Yeah.
for this, what's it called again? Pinstripe Bowl.
Pinstripe bowl. The bad boy mowers pinstripe bowl.
The bad boy mowers.
It's gonna be cold, right? I will travel well, but it's gonna be chilly. It's not my ideal destination for a bowl game. I think a lot of Husker Nation would like to a warmer climate location,
Sure.
but we'll take what we can get. I don't know. We'll probably get into it a little bit more. I'm not really thrilled about the matchup. It's just not who I thought we would play. And I don't
Well,
know what you
Jeff,
guys think about that.
you should have gone better than 6-6 then, Jeff.
Touche.
No,
Yeah,
I'm
you're
just kidding.
right.
No, I mean, I think literally even one more win, and we're probably talking either a Music City
Tampa.
Bowl in Nashville or
Yep.
whatever it's called now in Tampa. Is that the ReliaQuest one in Tampa or is
ReliaQuest, yeah.
yeah, in Tampa? And I mean, honestly, we win the Iowa game, which we had at our fingertips, and we're probably at one of those two bowls.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling both sides of it. Like I'm with you, Jeff. Like Boston College doesn't really move the needle. I'm really curious to see. I mean, New York City is one of the most expensive places to visit any time of year. And I've
Sure.
been there in December. It's charming as hell during the holiday
Yeah,
season,
it is.
but it's also like probably one of the most expensive times to go to one of the most expensive places, like
Yeah.
so there's that element. So I am curious how well we'll travel. Meanwhile, Boston, there's 617 daily flights from New York to Boston, and it's an easy drive too. So I'm curious, like, is it more like a home game for BC, or
Yeah,
I don't know
sure.
anything about their fan
They
base. Do they crack down?
I read Mitch Sherman's
I'll tell you about their fan base. They're terrible. They're terrible, TJ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Have they beat
this is the
they
Irish
beat Notre
fan in
Dame?
Jeff talking about
No,
Boston College.
that's no, no, no,
Is
no,
this still
no.
going back to 30 years ago when they beat Charlie Ward and
Take it
or
easy, all right?
94. Yeah, they
No,
beat
what
Notre
was
Dame in
that?
94, didn't they?
Notre Dame, yeah. They beat Notre
Take
Dame.
it easy. Just calm down, all right?
No, you know what's nice though? We're gonna get to see Bill O'Brien's glorious butt chin on television, roaming the sidelines. I mean, that thing is just a total butt on the face.
Yes, it is. Yes, it really
Well,
is.
yeah, chalk
That's
that
a
in the
great
positive
point.
column.
Yep.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, that thing is massive.
But I think I ultimately, like I wrote about this, I had a little three takes on the bowl game thing that I wrote about. And I think the way I put it was, it almost feels like a letdown, but only almost. Like this is like we're going to a bowl game.
But do
And I
we?
think we'll have time in the offseason to talk about we're probably two plays away from being 8-4. And I think we need to indulge some of that anger if we need to. Like we can spend that time in the offseason. But
Yeah.
we haven't been to a bowl game since 2016. And it is a step in the right direction.
Yep.
And it was really important to get these extra practices for development. It's really important, as much as people roll their eyes, it's important for the perception of the program. It's important that we don't have to talk about it on the Aflac trivia question all next season about how
Yes.
Nebraska leads the country in
Thank God.
years without a bowl game. All that
Yeah.
stuff, all that matters. And you just have to hope we'll talk about the portal in a minute, but we're losing guys to the portal, so you just have to hope. Net net, we can patch some holes in the portal and hit the ground running for 2025. But ultimately, we've got to let's step back for a minute. We've talked about this. College football is so great. You could argue it's now America's pastime. And there's so many damn bowl games now that literally every fan base, it feels like, gets to partake in bowl season.
Yeah.
And we finally get to do that again.
Yeah.
Like even with all the bowl games, more I think it's more than half of the Division I teams are able to make a bowl game. And we didn't do that for 7 years or whatever it was.
Right.
And so, like, I'm just like, let's just embrace, like we talked about, guys, like memories of growing up, having the fire, eating unhealthy food, you know, Christmas, leftover Christmas cookies, watching bowl games. We just get to partake in all of that. And like, that's what we need to celebrate here. And the rest of it, you know, I don't think we could be too choosy. We can be too picky. I think we go 6-6 next year. Then we can be
That's a
mad and we can
problem.
question like the direction of the program. But
We don't want to wish time away. I want to go back to the
no,
opponent.
certainly not.
I want to go back to the opponent, and I know it's not sexy, but would we rather have an opponent where we can go get a win? And like right now, at last I checked, last night we were favored by 3.5. Would we rather have that? Would we rather be playing an SEC school where we're a touchdown underdog? Like, to me, it's like, okay, this is an opponent that we can beat for sure. Like, would we rather have that, or do we want to play somebody that's like we're in a little bit over our skis? Like, to
Yeah,
me, this is
that.
like, okay, yeah, I'll take a Power Four conference opponent that we should beat. Like, that's the way I'm looking at it because we need to get a win.
Let's be clear, we can't take anyone for granted. Nebraska
For
football
sure.
cannot
No,
take
we
anyone for
cannot.
granted.
No,
And
we
I know you're
cannot.
not saying that. And but I agree, like I think you're right. I think if we beat Iowa, we're 7-5, we very likely, because of our brand name and because it's been so long for Husker fans and all these bowls know that Husker fans will travel and spend money, we very likely would have ended up in maybe a better bowl than we deserved, quote unquote, and playing against like a 9-3 SEC team. Like that
Yeah,
was
like in
very
playing
plausible.
LSU or playing
Yeah,
like somebody
right.
with NFL
And
player, like way more NFL players than we have.
yeah, that's a great, and
Yeah.
we've said many times that I'd like to get back to the point where we say, I don't care who we play, we're going to beat them. But we're not
Yes.
there yet. I'd
No, we're
rather end
not.
the
We
year
are
seven and
not.
six. I'd rather end the year 7-6.
Yeah. I look at it different. I'm sorry. I think it makes for boring football to watch. I like to get jacked up for a game and get excited. Like Boston College just doesn't excite me at all. I'm just like, all right, we made a bowl game. That's great. We might get a
That
win
seems
out
like
of
a
this,
you
but then
problem, Jeff,
that's
that you
just, it's
can't
all
get
about you.
excited for every single game. That you're the problem, Jeff. You're the problem
Give
here.
me something exciting to look forward to. I know I'm excited we made a bowl game, but I was really hoping for just a step up. But I don't know anything about Boston College this year. Like I haven't heard anything about them. I know nothing about them this season.
Well,
Clearly,
they
they're not
beat.
that great, but
Well, do some research, Jeff. You've got plenty of
they beat
time.
Florida State to start the year, and that was when everybody was like, "Oh,
Yeah, I
they'd
remember
lost for
that.
FSU," and then FSU went 2-10. Anyway.
Derail. I like it. I like it when we play it. I challenge ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves. I know it's not our choice, but it just makes it more fun. And I feel like it just gets me more riled up to watch a game when we're the underdogs. When we're
Well, you know,
favorites
and
like that.
I think some Husker fans are feeling that way too. Like I think some part of the fan base is disappointed in both the bowl sort of location destination as well as the opponent. But again, like take care of business. You know, make
Yep.
that one extra play against Illinois, make that one extra play against Iowa, or don't make 17 mistakes against
Yeah, we
Iowa.
deserve
Yeah,
it.
and
Don't
you're probably
crap
in
the
a New
bed
Year's Day
against
bowl.
UCLA at home
Yeah,
and like
exactly. I mean, it's interesting. Sam McEwen's piece, everybody read it. I think it was, he didn't call it the rewind this time, but it's basically he does a Sunday night, Monday morning sort of rewind type article. I mean, he made the point like you could make the argument. I know we've done this for years, Husker fans, so maybe we shouldn't go there. You could make the argument that we're not that far away from 10-2, basically. USC, UCLA, Iowa, and Illinois. I mean, Iowa and Illinois literally are one play. You know, at the end of the Illinois game, you either hit and open Luke Lindenmeyer in the end zone, or in the next play, you make the field goal. And then Iowa, we all know what happened against Iowa. That's 8-4 right there. And then you give me one or two of those close loss, or Ohio State for that matter.
Yeah, for
Don't give me
sure.
give one to two of those. You're nine to 10 win team. So, you know, it's kind of like we did with Frost. You could look at that both ways. You could look at it and say, we are this close and we're almost there. Or you could look at it and say, we still can't get over the hump and it feels further away than ever, you know? So, speaking of Scott Andrew Frost,
Heyo.
some major news over the weekend. Mr. Frost, after a couple years in the wilderness and then 1 year as sort of what are they, an analyst with the
For the
Los
Rams,
Angeles
right?
Rams, is back as a head coach in the major college ranks. He's back at the helm at the University of Central Florida. What do you guys make of this?
I'm split on it. Like, part of me wants him to do well. And part of me wants him to like fail miserably. Like I just I'm sorry. I'm being honest. Like I'm still pissed that it seemed to me, and this is just me, my opinion, that he just kind of gave up and checked out here.
IDF.
And but you know, I'm the type of person that wants people to succeed, especially, you know, they're from here, they coached here, played here, whatever. Like I wanted Frank Solich to do as well as possible. Like, so I think I want him to do well, but not that well. Like it would drive me absolutely nuts if he like
If they just
rattles
ran the
off,
table.
if he just rattles off like a couple Big 12 championships and they're like in the playoff contention, like that would kind of make me sick, honestly.
I agree. I didn't think about it that way, but that would piss me off too.
Well,
I
and it's
don't know.
interesting. I mean, the Big 12 is the worst, by far the worst of the power conferences right now.
So it's
So, like, he could bring in some
doable.
Florida
But
talent and just like, you know, nobody plays defense in that conference.
it's still, I think it's still tougher than the American Athletic Conference that he took, you know, that where he had success there before. It's going to be interesting as hell, though. Like, I don't know much. I know they haven't done as well the last couple of years with Malzahn. So it'll be really interesting to see. And I know a lot of people around here are going to be watching pretty closely to see how he does.
My takeaway from this is, I want to get your thoughts. College coaches in general at that level, to me, sometimes are just a different breed. They're illogical. Why don't some of these coaches, is it a pride thing? Like you're getting paid now to stay home, but you keep taking these jobs. Like you have a nice house in Arizona, you're a millionaire, you're enjoying life. Is it more of an ego thing that they're like, I have to work, I have to go somewhere? Like, can't you just enjoy your life right off into the sunset, take your free money for doing nothing? But no, now you have to come back and try and like change the narrative on who you are and what you ended with. Is it an ego thing? If it were me, just take your money and just hang out for a while, dude. Just enjoy life.
Well, he
Why
did
go back
that.
and stress yourself out again?
Now, I hear you, but I mean, that's an interesting, that's a bigger question for like he's 49 years old, right? So if we all had life-changing money in our 40s to where we didn't have to work, right now I say to myself, I'd never work again. I think we'd get really bored, guys.
Yeah, I think we
I
would.
could be too.
Something, right? We'd all do something. And
Go mow some
also these
lawns.
guys
Go mow some lawns.
think about it. I mean, like, think about I mean, it's stressful and it's much more than a 40-hour a week job, but that's a pretty cool gig. Coaching major college football. Like that's pretty unique. I mean, I don't I could totally and those guys, I think they are wired differently. Like, you know, you get that itch for competition. It's like they say with professional athletes, when they get done, they kind of like lose themselves sometimes because you're so used to like grinding and competing and that's all you know, and that gets taken away from you, and it's kind of like, what do I do now? You know?
It's a competitor thing, Jeff.
Yeah,
So
Jeff.
this is also rich
What are you
coming
trying
from
to
the
say?
guy. Also rich coming from the guy that's taking paid vacation time right now, just sitting at
At this
home.
very moment, at this
Just
very
enjoying
moment.
life, my friends. Just enjoying life.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like every common fan, if you haven't already, check out our series from over the summer called The Reckoning, where we looked at each coach of the post-Osborne era. And I just know Frost, for obvious reasons, really occupies, I think, a lot of headspace when you talk about the fan base. That's our most, the one where we talked about Frost and why and how he didn't work at Nebraska is our most watched and most downloaded episode ever on this podcast. And I think we have some insight into how fans feel about this because of the reaction we got to that episode. And I do think there is a lot of anger in the fan base. One thing I will say is like, some people say, oh, he like tanked on purpose and took his money. And I don't think that was ever his intention. I think I genuinely believe he desperately wanted this to work. He came home and he did it, you know, for his dad. His dad wasn't, you know, well, it sounded like what he said in his UCF press conference. Maybe his dad was sick even when he came to take the job, which wasn't public, but he died a couple years later. He did it, you know, Tom Osborne. And I genuinely believe he loves, or at least used to love, the state of Nebraska and felt a lot of responsibility to get the program turned around. Now, there's also lots of rumors out there about his personal life, or you know, showing up late to meetings, or lack of attention to detail or whatever it might be. I think no matter what you've heard, right? No matter what your neighbor who knows somebody who works at the athletic department or your friend whose third cousin was on the team, no matter what you heard, most of us will never know like how
Right.
much truth was behind those rumors. And I'll give the guy enough grace to say that I think when it didn't, I think they really thought it would turn in year two. And when they didn't even make a bowl game in year two, and then year three was COVID, I just think the pressure started coming down on him. And so, to the extent that maybe there were some personal failings, I think it was caused by, I think he did really care. I really believe that he cared, right? So, all that to say, I feel like I've had some of those frustrations and feelings. And it's interesting when he gave that interview, was it Dodd, Dennis Dodd? He gave that interview to a National Football Reporter over the summer saying he wanted to coach again. That kind of flared up conversations in the fan base again about, would you want him back here? Would you want him anywhere near the program? And people saying, hell no. I've just being totally honest, when he first got the UCF job, when he was an up and coming coach, I followed them on Twitter. I was all about it. I was like, because let's see, I want him to be a home run and then we'll hire him. And that's exactly what happened. I found myself thinking the exact same thing. I'm watching every clip that UCF puts out of him getting off the plane, of his press conference, him walking on the field, and I'm finding myself wanting him to do well. I really want him to succeed. I'm glad he's getting another chance. Even if there were lots of failings, inside the program and out when he was at Nebraska, like we've all been there, right? In some way, shape, or form. And so I'm glad he's getting another chance, a chance at redemption. It's a place he and his wife love. I think he'll be there for, as long as it goes okay, it goes well enough. I think he'll be there for 20 years if he can. I think he'll be there for a long time. And he talked in his press conference about putting down roots, et cetera. So all that, and I can see you have something to say, Matteo. Sorry, I'll shut up here in a minute. But
Well, I just no, you have you're still
well,
going.
I was just gonna finish with I so all that to say, I want him to do well. I think he will do well. Like it is, it's fascinating to me that after, he didn't have to go be a coordinator again. He didn't have to take a head coaching job at like a lower division school. It's now a better job, arguably, than it was before because they're in the Big 12 and he has got a direct shot to the playoff. All you got to do is win the very mediocre Big 12. And so good for him. I probably will feel some irritation if in like year two they run
I was
into a
going to
Big 12
say
title and get to the playoff. That will be
if they
irritating.
go make a run like that, you're probably going to be a little pissed. I
Yeah.
would
And
be.
then also, I don't know if you guys saw this. He did at the, he was talking about his affection for UCF at the press conference and how he had this line. It was like, when you're climbing the ladder of success, no one tells you to stop when you're happy. And I think
Yeah,
he
it's a good
genuinely, and
line.
there was a whole article about it, even when he was hired at Nebraska, how torn he was because he felt the pull of coming home, but he loved it at UCF. So he genuinely loves it. But then he had this line, he said, my dad was sick, so I'm glad for the time I got to spend with him. And we, at the place I went next, we had two more kids. And so he was talking about some of the positives, at least in his personal life, but he couldn't even say Nebraska. He said, at the place I went next. So that irked me a little bit. Like, this state was behind you and desperate for it to work. And to the point where, they brought him back for year five when basically Trev Alberts even said, like, there's no data to show this will actually work at this point, but we're doing it because he's a Husker. And I think people would have been furious if he had been fired at that point. And so I'm sure it's more complicated than we know. We know for a fact that, our insane fan base, the three of us included, is Nebraska's best asset, but it also doesn't make life the easiest on coaches, right? So I'm trying to give some grace, but like, man, everybody wanted this to work for you, dude.
That's what I don't like. I think for me and probably a lot of other people, it was like, and I don't know if he, I don't even think it's intentional. Like there's just a bit of arrogance from Frost, and he never really like lost that when he was here. And then this line, and I saw this in a tweet from Mitch Sherman, the awesome friend of the program, Mitch Sherman.
Friend of the program.
There's a long tweet, but at the end of it is a quote from Frost. And he says, "You can't have culture," Frost said in the presser, "without discipline and accountability." And that kind of made me want to throw up because you're talking about discipline and accountability. And if half of the rumors are true, you know, well, as they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Look in the mirror, dude. Like if you're showing up late to meetings and practice, and you're drinking too much, and you drank too many margaritas to meet with Dylan Raiola, a legacy and a five-star quarterback, discipline and accountability. Come on, man. Like that part of Scott makes me like sick. Like, dude, like you said, TJ, we were behind him. Like we wanted it to work so bad. Everybody wanted it to work. It seemed like it was just the chips were all lining up, whatever you want to call it. Like that makes me pissed to hear him say that. And then, like you said, to him, for him not even to admit, like he can't even just say like, hey, it didn't go the way I wanted it at Nebraska in Lincoln, but I learned a lot. You can say that and people go, wow, that's really introspective of him. But he didn't say that. Like you can say that and people will respect it and be like, okay. And he probably have more people like getting behind him back here, like back in Nebraska and saying, we really want this guy to work. But I don't know, man. Like I will always, like you've said it so many times, TJ, I'll never understand how it didn't work. And I'm in the same boat, but it's like I don't know that he handled it the best. And I know there was all these circumstances around him, like his dad's health and all the pressure. Somebody tweeted over the weekend that he had a lot of pressure from family and former players and teammates to take the job here. And it's like you can still say no, man. Like if it, your heart's not in it, you don't want to go back to your alma mater. Like, yeah, like you, because you don't want everyone mad at you here. Well, now people are still a little upset about it. Like, I don't know. Again, I want him to do well because I just want people to, I love a redemption story. I want people to do well, but I don't want him to do that well. I don't want to be like, we're sitting at home watching the CFP selection show and we're not in it. And UCF's, on the bubble, or they're like, well, they won the Big 12. Like that would really, really put a thorn in my paw.
I'm glad that you brought up like him saying stuff like that. I feel like he's always got a line to deliver in his press conferences. He's really good at that. And he was a good coach at UCF, obviously, and and he didn't work out here, but I feel like his thing is like his the Big Ten adjusting to us line. He's got that, or now this climbing the ladder line. He's a good public speaker, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I'm curious to see if he can get back on the coaching train and go in the right direction. I'm not
Well,
very hopeful about it. I'm more doubtful, but we'll see.
to your point too, Owens, about kind of the arrogance. I think we saw that too when he was here and his team was losing so many close games and he kind of refused to make any changes on the staff or refuse. I mean, I guess he maybe modified his system a bit, but he kind of would almost get defensive or stubborn in some of those press conferences. And it, whereas, it just feels like when we listen to Matt Rhule, like we've got an adult in the room. And that's not only a knock on Frost, because some previous head coaches felt, a little prickly as well.
Like Bo, and Bo would say, I don't point the finger, I point the thumb. And then he would proceed to throw his players under the bus. Like,
So, Rhule, like, and Rhule, like, we're seeing urgency, we're seeing accountability. Accountability is, and I think he actually deserves a lot of credit. He tried to bring Holgorsen in at the beginning of the year. It's come out now. And, and brought him in 9 games into the season. Like this guy's going to do whatever he can to try to get this thing, humming again and back to a winner again. So anyway, but it touches a nerve with Husker fans, man. The conversation on Twitter and people
I don't
are.
know. O only in college football, man. Only in football in general, like the way the job market works, like people that just get canned from a job can get, hey, look at, you did terrible at your previous employer. We'll take you back though. Come on. You did a terrible job. We'll take you back though.
But
Like
there's a
there's
lot
some
of
but there's
affection
some
for
good
him.
ones.
There's a lot of
Like
affection for him in Orlando.
look at Sarkisian. Like the guy like got super hammered drunk at a USC thing, and like he was kind of a laughing stock for a bit, and he goes to Saban's coaching rehab program and does an awesome job
Touche.
as OC, and now he's like got a team in the CFP in
Texas.
Texas, and Texas is back right now. And then, I mean, Lane Kiffin's had his share of you know,
Yep.
Joey Freshwater moments, and where, you know, it's like you don't know, like, what, didn't the plane like leave him on the tarmac or something happened with him?
Yeah. So
So
USC.
I think, was it USC or Tennessee? I can't remember, but that's, you know, he's had multiple stops, and now it seems like he's in a place where like he could coach at Ole Miss for probably as long as he wants, really.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
got it going there. So it happens, man. Like, I think, and kudos to the UCF athletic director and their administration for being like, you know what, let's run it back with Scott Frost. And the fans are
Yeah,
all
that's,
for
I
it.
think
The
that's a little
fans
bit of a
seem to be all
leap.
for it.
Yeah, that's a bit of a leap, I feel like, for them,
Yeah.
because there's no guarantee it's going to work again. It's a totally different universe in college football, and they're in the Big 12 now and all that. But I agree, there's a ton, it's clearly a ton of affection for him in Orlando.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're hoping to recapture the 2017 magic.
How
You know,
many teams have done that? I'm curious. Like, have lost their coach, whether it's by firing or just moves on to a different, but has brought back the same head coach again.
Mac Brown, North Carolina.
That's true. Yep, that's one there. Yep.
I don't know. There's
Are there any other ones?
Chiano. I mean, he left on his
Chiano.
own, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he leave
And
on his
Mac
own the
did
first
too.
time? Yeah.
Yeah. But so did Frost.
Yeah. Yeah, seems
No,
rare to
I
me.
was going to say, I had something I was going to say. I don't know if you guys saw, like, UCF put out this awesome like montage of Frost, and it was had the audio of that Matthew McConaughey.
I saw
Sometimes you look
that.
forward,
I
you got,
saw
and
that.
it was, and it worked perfectly for it. But did you see how many times Frost is in that just like smiling? Like, do you remember him smiling like at all on the sidelines or like on the field with the breath? I know
Or
the
we're
results
losing.
didn't go great, but it's like he just seemed like, you compare that Scott Frost to the Scott Frost at Nebraska, and it's like he seemed like he was
Yeah.
miserable. He
Yeah.
was miserable here.
Different person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be lots more to discuss on that front. It'll be
Yeah.
interesting to see the coaching staff decisions, if there's any Nebraska connections there. I saw somebody posted a clip. I have no idea where it was from, but it was Verduzco, his old quarterback's coach,
Yeah.
being interviewed. I don't know how old it is, but clearly it's since Verduzco got let go before the 2022 season. And it was only like a 7 second clip, but the guys who were interviewing him say, "Do you ever talk to Scott Frost?" Like, they had been, it looked like they had been laughing about something because he had a smile on his face. They said, "Do you ever talk to Scott Frost?" And he kind of like got all serious and just said, "No." Like, boom.
Yeah.
So, kind of curious about, you know, I'm sure there were some bridges burned and everything that happened. And I think some of those coaching changes at the end were forced on him. But I was trying to remember. Do you guys remember Verduzco, Ryan Held? Who were the other two that got let go at the time? Do you remember going into 2022? Oh, because he, and he brought, oh, he brought in Mickey.
Yeah.
So who did Mickey replace? I'm trying to remember who was
Oh,
the
we
wide
had
receiver.
the guy who worked for the credit union, and he's had some health problems, I think. The
Oh,
who was it? The
yeah,
receivers
I know who you're
coach.
talking about. But he was the OC, wasn't he?
Why can't we remember this? I thought he was just a receivers coach. I don't
Dude,
remember.
all
I
right,
can't believe
yeah.
we
I
don't.
should have done some research on this
Yeah.
before we started recording.
Yeah, don't come at me, Matt. Do your research, guys. Do your research.
Also, all right, I
I'm
wasn't
totally
okay.
blanking on it.
Wasn't he no, I was almost confusing him with Riley Era. All right, we'll get back to you. We'll get back to you on that, common fans. Anyway, will be interesting to see where the coaching staff goes, and if there's any Nebraska connections there. I know Held isn't Held at Kearney now. UNK, he's like running the
Yeah,
program
I think he's
now.
the head coach there.
So, you know, again, who knows if they stayed on good terms or what, but that'll
Yeah.
be, that sort of thing will be interesting to see. Okay, so finally some good news out of the transfer portal. Emmett Johnson is coming back, boys. After initially declaring that he was entering the transfer portal, he's coming back. I'd like to think Dana Holgorsen got to him and said, "Hey, we're going to feature you in this offense like crazy." And he went bonkers the last three games of the season. I think that's a huge thing for the Huskers, guys. And I'm super excited about the one-two
Yeah.
punch next year of the shifty, speedy, all-around do-it-all Emmett Johnson and the powerful Big Ten bruiser Dante Dowdell.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah. Now there had to have been some talk of NIL figures involved with that too. And I also kind of thought it was interesting. I saw on Instagram Emmett had done like a collaboration with this Instagram account called the Corn Belt, which I think is, I don't know what they really do, but a few weeks ago. And then he kind of had the, there's like a video thing. It was pretty cool, actually, and talking about how, this long message that he's coming back. So I don't know if it was, I don't know if he was really, really considering leaving, or if he just kind of was just kind of put it, dipped his toe in the water, and his kind of plan all along was to come back just so he could say, I'm coming back. But either way, I don't really care. I'm so glad he's going to stay.
I think
I think it's a huge jolt for us when we really kind of needed one.
we
We hear all this news about all these guys that are leaving, and you can make excuses and say, oh, we really don't need that guy anyway. But we're not exactly in a position where we can stand to lose a ton of players. Especially the guys that have 2 or 3 years of eligibility left, like Prince Will. We were talking before we started recording about Prince Will, how he's the number one, allegedly the number one player in the portal. I don't know if he's that good, but there's certainly potential. He's got years left to play, and like TJ said, everybody needs an edge rusher. So just glad to have Emmett back. Friend, not a friend of the program, but a favorite of the program.
Yeah, the common fans love Emmett. The common
We
fans
love
love him.
Emmett.
Yeah, we love Emmett. I feel like it's more like because everything's about money now. I think it's more or less he's putting his name out there, seeing if anybody just came calling, throwing money at him. And if he didn't like what he saw or didn't get the dollar amount that he was looking for, that's a Nebraska. It's purely a business decision, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
Well, and it's
What
like
do
if
you?
you might you somebody might do that just to see like how much do they like me here? How
Yeah.
much do they want me to stay? And really, I think of all the guys that announced they were leaving, I think the Emmett one hit the hardest for most of us. And we were like, oh
Yep.
God, like he was just like starting to show his potential here the last few games of the season. Like
Yep.
everybody's looking forward to seeing him in Dana's offense. So I think we kind of knew that, with White leaving and Pot Roast leaving, like there's going to be some defensive guys taken off. So that, I mean, that's part of it too. But yeah, it's good to have old 21 sticking around.
Absolutely. And that is there is the potential that other guys who have put their names in the portal could withdraw and come
Yeah.
back. And we need to remind ourselves and all the listeners, there will be more. We've got a roster
Yes.
almost of 150 guys. We have to get it down to 105 to be within the rules for 2025. And then we have to, so you figure a class of seniors leaves and a new class of recruits comes in, that kind of cancels itself out. But then what's left is this unique situation this year where we have to cut about 45 guys or whatever it is, 40 to 45 guys. And then on top of that, assuming they want to bring in some guys from the transfer portal, you're going to have to shed some more fat,
Yeah.
right? And
Sure.
so there's going to be a lot right now. I think there's 14 players in the transfer portal, according to the Husker Max tracker. Everybody check out Husker Max. But there's going to be more. And again, it's just going to be a long time, I think, before the dust settles. Today is when the transfer portal opens. It's just today, right? So,
To your point, TJ, like you were saying a couple episodes ago about how we really got to, lean on the portal. And if there's somebody out there that's, worth a damn that's going to make our team better, we need to snag them, right?
yeah,
But
exactly.
they need to be prepared too, like Husker fans, that there may be a player that we really enjoy, that we like, that's really good now. But if we find somebody that's even better than them in the portal and we have to cut rosters, like it's cutthroat now. It's going to be interesting to see some of these players that maybe we thought would be even starting that could just not be here if we
Yeah,
find somebody better than them. So
that's
it's
spot on.
going to be a roller coaster.
It's not, I don't think it's the best thing for the student athlete, and I think probably we need some guardrails in place to prevent this kind of thing from happening, or at least, give, like, it's really not fair to some guys. But if you can recruit over somebody and somebody becomes available, you do it, and let them, hopefully, best case scenario, you let them stay and compete for their job if they want to. That's,
Yep.
I think this, I, not to get off on a side tangent, I think I hate the 105 roster
Same.
limit. Why are we limiting opportunities for kids with NIL now? There's opportunities for more kids than ever to get their college education paid for and to be on the football team and to have stories like John Bullock, who was a walk-on from Omaha.
Yeah.
That sort of thing will not be able to happen now or happen
Right.
less.
It's
It's just I don't know why you would limit opportunities for kids to be part of a college athletic program, especially when in football you can have bigger rosters,
Yeah, it just said that's where it really sucks. And I think Rule talked about this a few weeks ago about how it
He
just
did.
really sucks for the walk-on programs. And
Yeah.
especially here where that's meant a lot to the people of the state. Like, because you would have guys like, from Hyannis, Nebraska, or Aurora, or wherever, that just work their butt off for 3 or 4 years, and then they get on scholarship, and those are the fun stories, man. And then they're in the two deep, and they're getting playing time. It used to happen all the time, and obviously with John Bullock and guys like that, it still happens. So now those guys are going to be forced to probably go play at a smaller school, and if they're good enough, then maybe they can get transfer into somewhere through the portal. But that's gonna have to be the way that they get to play big time football now, because they're overlooked, and then they have to work their butt off somewhere else and have huge stats, or have test out really well or something, and then get onto a bigger program. So that part kind of sucks.
Well, and it's going to be harder than ever, even for those guys to get their way, work their way to a D1 program, because there's going to be fewer spots than ever. Anyway, okay, back to the earlier conversation for a minute. Matt Lubick was the guy we were talking about.
Matt Lubick,
And
thank you.
that was during the Frost era. I had everything crossed in my head there. So on one day after the 2021 season, greatest nine and or greatest 3-9 team ever, by the way, the Frost f fired Matt Lubick, who was the offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach. He fired offensive line coach Greg Austin,
That's right, Greg Austin.
Mario Verduzco, and Ryan Held, who Verduzco was the QB coach, Held was the running backs coach. So that was when Mark Whipple came in, Mickey Joseph came
Whip
in,
it.
and that was
Whip it
kind
good.
of it does feel like by the end there that like Frost sort of forced to give up play calling duties. I don't know that he ever fully got along with Whipple. Like it was just sort of a disaster by the end. But you wonder,
Yeah.
like he never, Mickey, when he took over as interim head coach, was the one who fired Shenander. So Frost was never the one who fired Shenander. So does Frost, and Shenander's going gangbusters at Boise State
Yeah,
now.
he's in the
So does
CFP.
Frost go try to get a guy like that? It'll be very interesting. We have all these connections to these guys, so it'll be fun to
You
see.
say gangbusters?
Yeah, gangbusters, Jeff. I
That's
said
an
gangbusters.
interesting word. It's another word than doorbusters. When you get to the holiday season, I hate that word, doorbusters. Doorbuster savings.
You got a problem with my use of gangbusters, Jeff?
Yeah, what year is this? 1920?
All right. Well, anyway.
You scalawag. All
Rapscallion.
right. Final thing, guys. We got yesterday, we're recording this Monday morning. So yesterday on Sunday afternoon, we got the first ever 12-team playoff
Yes, we did. Yes, we
bracket,
did.
and go all Big Ten teams in the CFP playoff, especially Indiana. But I think a couple things, guys. One, the way it played out, so the only real drama was because SMU lost to Clemson, Clemson got the automatic bid. At 9-3, Clemson was not going to get in without winning the conference. So Clemson beats SMU in the conference, in the ACC conference title game, which is a heck of a game, by the way. So the question was, does the committee stick with SMU, which was 10-2, I think, or
Yes.
not? Or, yeah.
Yep, two
Or
loss.
do they let in a 9-3 Alabama team who had wins over three really quality, highly ranked opponents, where SMU, I don't think, beat one top 25 team. And so the committee went with SMU. And so I think it was, they made the point on ESPN, that ESPN show, they drug that thing out, by the way.
God, I did.
They
That
really
was
drug that out.
infuriating.
That
Good
was
Lord, they know how to
ridiculous.
get their dollars out of viewers, man. Just
Yeah, that's for sure.
stretch that thing out.
But I mean, it was kind of like almost a lose-lose for the committee, because if you don't include SMU, then you're basically disincentivizing playing in the conference championship game at all,
Correct.
right?
Yes.
So the Alabamas of the world got to sit at home, so it doesn't seem fair to put them in. But the argument from the whiners at Alabama and the SEC is that, well, we well, the argument that's going out there right now, the biggest one I'm seeing, is this will disincentivize playing good non-conference opponents in the future. Because if strength of record doesn't mean anything, then why would it? What's funny is, Alabama's losses were all to conference opponents. But
Yeah.
anyway,
And
so,
two of them were 6-6.
right, exactly. So, and I think the bigger thing is the SEC folks would say this is the best conference top to bottom. And so it's just harder in this conference. And so we're going to make it as easy, like if record is the only thing that matters, after, you know, after conference titles. We're going to make it as easy as possible on ourselves, even though I think that's the point. Even though they weren't losses to non-conference opponents, we're going to certainly not make it any harder on ourselves
Yeah.
by scheduling harder non-conference opponents. But I just think, like, there was something out there that really hit home with me, and I like the SEC. Like, I guess everybody does it. Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Greg Sankey,
Yeah, the
they're all
politicking.
a bunch of whiners.
Yeah.
Wine, 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 wine.
It's the
Even
SEC, TJ. It just means more. It's their
it
slogan.
just
It just means more. It just means
even
more, you guys.
even even after winning the SEC championship, Kirby Smart is bagging on Greg
What's
Sankey,
his
the
name? Yeah.
SEC commissioner,
Yeah, I
for
saw that.
sending us all over, you know, to
But
away
wasn't
game
like
while
eight
he's
of
on the
like weren't
stage
like
next to him.
weren't like
Yeah.
eight of their games in the state of Georgia, and he's
Yeah.
complaining about them being sent all over the place. So they only played four games out of their own home state.
Just unbelievable whiners, just unbelievable. But Dan
Yeah.
Wolkin, who's a national college football writer, had a tweet that was I thought was really hit home with me. If you're Alabama and you think multiple losses are baked into the SEC schedule because it's so hard, you need to go kick a good team's ass in another conference to establish how much better the SEC is and give yourself that breathing room. So I think that's a good argument
Yeah.
for not scheduling the Sisters of the
Wofford,
Poor. Yeah,
Mercer.
right. And the
Sure.
SEC already plays only eight conference games, not nine, and they're quite famous for, you know, Alabama and everybody else is famous for suddenly playing in November, you know, some garbage, you know, lower division team or
Yeah.
FCS team or whatever. So, I for one am thrilled that the Big Ten has the most teams. The Big Ten has four teams. The SEC has three teams. I think the SEC is a it's a down year for the SEC. Even if you want to
Yeah.
argue they're the best conference from top to bottom, it is a down year for the SEC.
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't want to get left out of the playoff. Don't lose to 6-6 Oklahoma. Don't lose to
Sure.
Vegas. Right.
It renewed my confidence. If anything, I thought for sure that the SMU was going to get screwed by losing that game and be almost penalized for playing in
Yep.
it. And it renewed my confidence that maybe, just maybe, these people that make up the committee aren't basing it purely just off of brand and all about money, because I thought for sure Alabama was going to get in because Alabama is good for college football and a fun
Right,
team to watch.
exactly.
And I thought that's the way. So if anything, it gave me hope that maybe going forward, people that should, that are more, you know, that should be allowed to be in the playoff, they're more deserving of it, are actually going to have a chance now, which is pretty awesome. Granted, I know, and before I even say it, yeah, I know Notre Dame gets to sit at home during championship weekend and watch everybody else play for a spot. So I'll even own that. Notre Dame does kind of get a loophole there by not having to play in a conference championship and one less game, and they still make the playoff no
Well,
matter
that
what.
they also benefit from being the most overrated team in the history of the
Shut your
sport.
mouth.
Always,
Shut your mouth.
always.
Mute him, Owens. Mute him. You're in control.
I
Just say
will
mute
not.
him.
I agree with him.
Thank
Nobody's
you.
nobody's. I still hear enough people talking about Notre Dame losing at home to like what a 500 Northern Illinois team.
Don't start.
Like
They
nobody's like
knew
I
what they
don't.
knew what they had to do after that. They had to blow the doors off of every opponent going forward, and that's what they did. Mission accomplished. Good job, Irish. You guys did great.
Okay. Okay, Jeff.
Okay.
Well,
You
I
know,
think
I
look,
think
by
I.
and large. So go ahead, Matteo. Go ahead.
No, I just feel like
You have
that
something to
there's
say?
gonna. I feel like there's gonna be have to be some kind of adjustments to how they seed these teams, because
Yes,
like
that's what I was going to go.
while Arizona State is really fun to watch and that Scatabu running back is awesome, I don't feel like they should get a first round bye. Nor do I think Boise State should get a first round bye.
Yeah, that's pretty
And then
wild.
you know Indiana's got to go to Notre Dame and Oregon kind of gets a raw deal. They get to
Yeah.
play the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee.
Right,
Like
right.
it's yeah, I mean it's there's I think there's gonna have to be some discussions and maybe some adjustments to how they figure out that seeding. And I don't want it to go to like a power rankings thing because then Alabama probably does get in over SMU and they
Well,
probably should.
yeah. I
So I
think
don't know.
you keep the automatic bid for the conference champions, but then you seed them based on the ranking, right? Basically.
Yeah.
So, right. So, because it was weird to watch, like, they had their number up there for their seed and then the number for where
Of
they
their
were
ranking.
ranked. And it was like not
Yeah.
matching up, right? So I think you can keep, I like the idea of conference champions still getting an automatic bid, but if you're from the Big 12, you probably deserve the 11 or 12 seed,
Yeah,
right? At least
sure.
at the moment. Maybe that'll change in 5 or 10 years, but at the moment, you don't deserve a first round bye. So I do think they're going to have to make some tweaks like that, or at least consider them. But by and large, guys, you know, this is one of the arguments I made about expanding the playoff in general. The best teams in the country are in. The best, like
Yeah.
Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. Like we're
Notre
talking
Dame.
when you get when you get to you know, arguments about 9-3 Alabama, 9-3 Ole Miss, you're talking about what, 8 through 12. I mean, you know, you could argue Alabama's probably better than Boise State or than Arizona State. That's where the conference thing, you know, makes it a
Yeah.
little bit difficult. But we're not talking about, oh, the third best team who could have made a run got left out. We're talking about like the ninth or 10th or 11th best team, right? And so by and large, I think the best teams are in and have a chance to win, first of all. And second of all, I don't know about you guys. I cannot wait for that weekend before Christmas.
Oh, that
Right?
Saturday, December 21st is going to
Yes.
be insane.
And then
There's
wow.
NFL that day too.
Yeah, and then we
Of
get to do it
course there
all over
is.
again on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Like it's like Chattel wrote about to start the season. It's like a new tradition and for up and coming college football fans of one more thing they get to embrace. So I
Yeah.
think it's going to be awesome. I can't
Be
wait.
fun.
And I can't wait till Nebraska's a part of it, guys.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Like that's what I texted the guys. You guys know this. I texted our group of friends, the Fantasy Football League, on Saturday, and that was one thing I found myself thinking was, it's fun to watch these games. I'm so sick of not even being close to being in the conversation for playing in these
Yeah.
games. We've got to get back to relevance,
Yeah.
and hopefully we're on the way there.
Yeah.
Agree. With
Have
12
faith, my
teams, it
friend.
should it's gotten a little bit easier. At least we're not doing four
That's right.
teams.
Hey,
It's in
exactly.
the
You
realm of
can
reality. You can do it.
the portal taketh, the portal giveth. You can flip a roster. Look at
Just like that.
Cignetti. Look at all the old cigarette
Well,
boy.
and that's why I'm not panicking yet about losing Jamari Butler and Mekhi Bayer
Right.
and Prince Will and some of these guys, simply because there's gonna be thousands of players in the portal this year. There's gonna be more than ever before. And you can fill holes on your roster. So we're gonna
Yeah.
go get dudes. We're gonna have to go get dudes. So I think Rhule is gonna keep his foundation of building a culture and being a developmental program, but I think you can see a change in his mindset. Whereas
Yeah, get it.
maybe before we would take 6 to 10 guys in the portal, I think it'll be 15, 20,
Yeah,
25,
that's what
however
they're
year, because
saying,
you're going to have to, because
15-ish.
you're going to lose guys too. You're going to lose
Yeah.
guys too. You're going to have
Yep.
to. So
Yep.
anyway,
And
all right.
they did pretty well in the portal last year too. I mean, we added some receivers and
Yeah.
so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Great conversation, gents. The fun never stops when it comes to college football, boys. And now we got a bowl game to look forward to. So
Yes.
we'll be back at you later this week, Common fans, with a view from the Blandstands with the Omaha World Herald's Evan Bland. I think that might be the last view from the Blandstands. Certainly, we'll have Evan back on the program from time to time, but that was kind of an in-season thing. So it's been awesome to do that with Evan, and we'll have
That
one more
has.
of those. And then, of course, we'll have at least, I think we're going to drop down to one a week, at least in the off season. So I'm not sure exactly what the cadence will be between now and the holidays, but we'll be back at least one a week starting next week. We're not going anywhere, guys. The Common fans are not going
We're just
anywhere.
getting
There's a lot.
started.
We're
There's a lot to
going to
talk about.
keep putting out our episodes at least once a week throughout all of the off season. We're going to keep doing our written material. We're having so much fun doing this, and we're all on board for that bowl game and that 7-6 finish, baby. Can't wait for that. And there'll be a
Yep.
lot of portal. Now that the portal's officially open, there will be a lot of portal watching and obsessing these next few weeks as well. So, all right, boys, anything else?
Subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah,
Tell your
subscribe on
friends. Tell your
YouTube.
family. Tell your coworkers. Tell your cousins. We're trying to get to 1,000. Help us out, common
Come
fans.
on, do it.
Subscribe on YouTube, please. And
Yes,
even
we're
if you listen
close.
on a
We're
different,
like
even if you
100,
listen,
125-ish away from a
yeah.
thousand.
I think we were at 877 last I looked, so that's
There
pretty
you go. Do
good.
it.
But
Do
yeah,
it.
even if you listen on a different platform and you don't watch on
Yeah,
YouTube,
help us out.
you just subscribe on YouTube. That's all you got to do. I think you just need a Gmail address and you could subscribe on YouTube. So, and tell your friends, tell your spouse, tell everybody. All
Come
right,
on
we'll
now.
be back at you later this week with another view from the Blandstands. In the meantime, Common fans, as always, GBR for life.
Going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.